Our scripture readings today are from Genesis 3:20, James 1:17, and Proverbs 1:8-9. Genesis 3:20, Adam named his wife Eve because she became the mother of all living. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father, the heavenly lights, who does not change the shifting shadows. Proverbs 1:8-9, listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are the garland to grace your head and chain to adorn your neck.
Good morning! Okay, so you giggled. Why are you giggling? For the good morning? Oh, it is a good morning. Trust me. Anytime I wake up and get to see new friends and old friends, it's a good morning. It's a good morning, and I am glad to be here with you to share this special day. So happy Mother's Day. Yes, yes. And wasn't it special to get that surprise greeting from Pastor Sanford? Oh, okay, okay. Well, I have to start with just a few fun facts about Mother's Day, because I learned some things that maybe you already know, but I didn't. Here we go. 10 fun facts. Did you know that there are more phone calls made on Mother's Day than on any other day of the year? Now, I don't know. They didn't say, are those kids calling moms or moms calling friends? I don't know. But there's more phone calls. Second, Mother's Day is the third highest selling holiday for flowers and plants. A quarter of all of the flowers and plants that are sold in a year are sold on Mother's Day or around Mother's Day. Now, how many of you knew that? Okay, now listen. I thought about that because I was surprised. I was like, what about Valentine's Day and all that love? Well, clearly not everybody has a sweetheart, but yet, somewhere, there's a mom or a mother's figure in their life. Third, you'll like this one. And when I say this one, you're going to say, can you keep it going because this involves me today. Normally, Mother's Day is the busiest day for restaurants. That's right. There may be, I don't know, we get out kind of early, so you might get there ahead of the crowd. All right. Where did mother or mommy or mama, where did that come from? Because in many, many countries, the word for mother has that sound. Any thoughts? Anybody know? Okay, I love this. Because that M sound, that ma sound, is one of the first sounds that children can verbalize. And mothers being wise grabbed onto that and said, that's me. They're talking about me. Yes, yes. All right. 5, the most popular gift on Mother's Day is what? Well, they give more flowers, but they also give a lot of greeting cards. And the average person buys 2.8 greeting cards. Now, I don't know who gets the 0.8. It's a puzzle. Nobody wants the 0.8. But I think that's an average, because if you bought a Mother's Day card, you understand that there are Mother's Day cards and Mother's Day cards for your sister and your mother-in-law and all your friends. all your friends. So that's why so many cards. Beauty salons and spas love Mother's Day. Come on in. Let us do your pretty toes and fingers. 7 or 8. I don't know. I lost count. Jewelry is also one of the most popular items after flowers and after all those cards that you buy. Did you know that Mother's Day is celebrated around the world? We're not the only ones celebrating. Also in Great Britain, Canada, Costa Rica, Samoa, and Australia, to name a few, all celebrating. And then here's the last one. The first official Mother's Day written in the law. Anybody know what year and what president? Oh, wait a minute. I know we got at least one teacher in this crowd. Now, come on now. Okay. I'm not going to say anything, but it was 1914 and the president was Woodrow. Oh, you knew that part. Oh, all right. So before we get into the sermon, I have to do this just because it's fun. And you know I like a little, just gotta get a little fun in there. There was a school-age boy, and he was perplexed. So he asked one of his schoolmates, "What should I get my mom for Mother's Day?" And she thought about it, and she said, "Oh, I have the perfect. Why don't you tell her that for the next month, you'll clean your room without being asked?" And he looked at her. She said, too much. She said, "Okay, how about 2 weeks, no fighting with your siblings?" Too much? Okay, how about 1 week and you will help mom by doing a couple additional chores around the house? And he said, "Listen, I came to you for something practical." Okay, he didn't take her up on any of those. All right, today is a great day because we are here together to worship. But I just want to say, because I have found that this is true, that while Mother's Day, did you know there's a little step? You can get some elevation if you need. I've never known that. I might use that at some point so I don't have to look between. Okay, anyway, that was a rabbit. I want to acknowledge that while it's a joyous day and a happy day and a day that we do honor moms, but it is not a day. If this day represents, for some people, some other feelings, okay? Just have to be honest. And there's lots of reasons for that. But we want to honor that in the room today to say, while everybody is saying, "Woo, woo-hoo," and social media has got all the pictures of all the perfect situations, but some of us have a little sadness today because maybe you don't have your mom with you. And that's real. And there might be somebody in the room who did not get to be a mom for whatever reason. And maybe there's some sadness or grief around that. Or maybe you had a mom and it wasn't the kind of mom that they put in those Hallmark cards. Maybe you had a conflictual relationship. All of that is real. And while I don't want to take away from the joy of today, I do want to acknowledge when people have other experiences. Because I have known women have said to me personally on Mother's Day, "I like to serve in the church." They don't want to be part of the sermon. They don't want to any of that. So they find a way to help in the Lord's house without the pressure. All of that's real. Can we say we love folk? And today I'm going to talk about Mother's Day in a broader sense. So I hope that you can find yourself there somewhere. Whether you're a biological mom or stepmom, adoptive mom, a foster mom, whether you have mothered and nurtured children because you are a teacher, because you are a neighbor, because you serve children in any number of ways. Listen, I've never had a biological child, but I have gotten Mother's Day cards. They said, so I guess I was part of that 2.8. Because I once led a very large youth group, and kids would say, you're a mama to me. There's lots of ways, lots of paths, and we're going to talk about that. But I just have to tell you, I invited my mother to come today. She said, what time is church? I said, well, mama, it's at 9, but does that matter? Don't you want to come? And she was like, yeah, no, can you pick me up after that? I was like, well, that's a ringing endorsement. Mama, my mother is 87. I love her. But she said, I'm not trying to move fast on Mother's Day morning. I'm going to take it slow. I said, okay, you take it slow, but be ready. all right. We are going to talk about mothering as a sacred call. And that's what that Genesis 3 verse 20 was about, because it was noting that Eve is the mother of all living. So after the fall, you know, before the fall, Eve went by a different name. She was called woman. And after that little incident with the piece of fruit, I'm not going to go there. Adam renamed her, and he gave her the name Eve, because the mother of all living. And it was a nod to the promises that would come on for generations. Yes, the mother. I love that. But here's where I, when talking about mothers, I find something that correlates with the heart of a mother and the heart of God. Genesis 3:20 lets me know that mothering is a sacred call. A sacred call. It involves, and I'm talking about mothering in that broad sense that we talk about, whatever pot you fit in, or maybe you're in couple pots, couple, two, three. That. But it is sacred when you have the opportunity to love, guide, nurture, direct, whether you're doing it directly, whether you are just influencing through one of those other ways. Not to be taken lightly. A sacred call. Why? Because as women and as mother figures in the community, you have influence. Anybody have somebody besides your mother who influenced you? Okay. Me too. I had a neighbor when I was little. My dad was in the military. We were in Colorado. And my neighbor is why I am here today. Because in the summer, when we were all out of school and all those kids, she looked at that herd and said, wow, that's a lot of children, but I bet I could influence them. So 2 days a week, She would have us outside her house, weather permitting, and we would learn a scripture and get a snack. I remember the snacks. They were tasty little snacks. Even back then, I enjoyed a snack. And then if you memorized so many scriptures, you earned a Bible. And that set the word in my heart. Because back then, I didn't go to church with family. I went to Sunday school on a bus by myself. But it was that neighbor and her influence that grew something in me. Wow. That influence that stayed, that she recognized her sacred call, much like Jesus that had a sacred call. Let's talk about the other thing that's part of the Lord and all mothers, because mothers have a way and an influence that's sacrificial. Again, I'm talking about mothering in all of those different ways. Sacrificial. They give up. They give up their time. They give up resources. Anybody in the house had a time in your life where you were putting into some young person and you put something that you wanted aside and said, that can wait because I feel led to put in them, to give here, whatever, maybe help them. We're still doing it. I heard some of you say that there's some graduations. So there'll be some more cards given. And I'm guessing there might be a little stash in that card. Sacrifice. Mothering doesn't end when your children are outside of your home, when they're 18 or 21 or whenever they launch. It doesn't end. The season changes. It looks different, but there's always the ability to have that influence. Other ways that mothers sacrifice. They sacrifice by stopping what they're doing in the busyness of the day to listen to children, to encourage. I was thinking about not a mom in a traditional sense, but yet a teacher who noted a child that was falling further and further behind. And so she decided, I'm going to intervene. And she invited the child to come after class for some extra help. That's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice. You do that out of love. You do that out of your sacred call. Mothers make daily life special. Huh. If you've had somebody that has nurtured you in any one of a variety of ways, it changes your life. It makes it special. And I'm glad for it. Well, I would say that mothers are one of the most selfless people on the earth. Putting the needs of others, whether children, students, children that come to church, Sunday school, putting the needs of others first. And when they put them first, they also encourage. Those are the people that see gifts in younger people. Again, keep in mind, I'm talking in the broader sense. Proverbs 1:8. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions. See, I had to get something with fathers in there because I was like, the men are in the room are like, and your mother's teaching. Mothers teach in a variety of ways. They take care of the physical, the mental, the emotional. They take care of calendars and knowing when people are supposed to be where and problem solving. They help kids to develop that. And woo, one that my mom really had to have was patience. Because, you know, I've always been just like this. Matter of fact, I've gotten older. I'm less like it than I used to be. All that energy, all of that. They teach self-discipline. So I want to take a look just real quick at a few examples from the Bible. And we can look to find out, did they, in fact, have those three things? Did they have a sacred call? Were they sacrificial? Did they guide and teach? Let's start off with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Well, I'm thinking if we take a vote, is that a sacred call? All right. What does Mary teach us about the willingness to accept responsibility with courage? She entered that sacred call. She didn't shrink back from it, even though in that time and age, that could have been very problematic. And Joseph could have made a different choice. As a matter of fact, he thought about it. But there was an intervention and he heard from God. So yes, she had that sacred call. And sacrifice, I think she did, as all mothers do. She walked in humility and in service, encouraging him along the way. She walked in faith and trusted God. She was a guide, even to the end when it was clearly unpleasant. And even along the journey, there were some hard places, and she stuck with it in the crowd at the end. And Jesus honored her. One of the last things that he did was commend his mother to John to watch over. He put her in good hands to be cared for in the ongoing. Well, who's another one? Let's do somebody that was a little... That parented and shows us this parenting and mothering in all seasons. Can we talk about Lois and Eunice? They were Timothy's mother and grandmother. And they knew that sacred call. They invested, even though there were some challenges, because his mother and his father weren't even from culturally the same. And so that teaching of that foundational truth was different, but yet they did it. And they walked hand in hand, the mother and the grandmother. I want you to know that if your season of mothering, in the sense of directly having children in your house, is over, but you got some grandbabies, cute though they are, you've just entered into a different season, a season where you have the opportunity to still invest in them. You still can act in your sacred call by having influence for them. And we're going to be real honest. Look, it's a little bit easier because you don't have them 24/7. So you can do your influence but it's influence nevertheless. Yeah, that sacred call that and Lois and Eunice were commended because of the man that their son became, because of that influence. Well, time is slipping away, and I know it's Mother's Day, and Some of you have a little bubble over your head that said, what about those restaurants? I'm just kidding. There's no bubble. But I want to talk about one last mother. And this one is non-traditional. I'm going to talk about Naomi out of the Book of Ruth. Well, now, wait. Now, you guys are thinking, I read the story. Her children were gone. True. This is where those seasons change. People change. But that sacred call doesn't change. So if you, let me do a quick recap of the Book of Ruth. Naomi lost her husband and then lost her sons. And so there she was. And in that time, it was the men that were connected to you in which you were able to have your living, your food and your shelter and all of those provisions. And so she's going to move back to her hometown. She had left her home because there had been a famine. But now, no husband, no sons. She was an older woman, so she wasn't going to have any children, so that there wouldn't be someone to take care of her. No more sons coming. And then she's got these two daughter-in-laws that are connected to her. Orpah, which I used to think, is that where Oprah got her name? But it's spelled a little different. There's a little change in the spelling. Orpah, and then her other daughter. And she said, daughter-in-law, I'm sorry. And she said to them, go back to your home. Go back to your people. And Orpah said, okay, peace. Have a good journey. But that second one said, no, I'm not going. I'm going to stay with you. And we get one of those lines that you've heard in many, many weddings. You know which line I'm talking about? Where she said, where you go, I'll go, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And she stays. And I don't know. I have a vivid imagination. So I'm thinking, Naomi said, hit the bricks, but it's not in the scripture, so I can't. That's just my imagination. But she wouldn't go. She wouldn't leave her. They traveled together. And what did that next time look like? We see throughout the Book of Ruth, you've got to read it, only four chapters, goes quick read, where she guides and directs. And she continues in her sacred call. And they go back, and she had a kinsman redeemer, a man who was a relation that would then take them in and would be responsible for. His name was Boaz. I just wanted to say that this morning because I've never met a Boaz in life. Boaz. And Naomi instructs her, gives her good guidance on where to go to get food and how to get noticed and then how to capture the heart of Boaz. So see, Naomi was a non-traditional way of, again, having influence, being a mother figure. It does not stop. It's a continuum. The seasons look different, but we all have the opportunity to invest and allow that sacred call to move on for the people that we meet, however that looks. What if that neighbor had not? I mean, there was like 30 of us kids in the neighborhood, And she would sit out there and teach us from the scriptures. And that little, I'll never forget, there was a Dixie cup of Kool-Aid and two cookies. To this day, I remember. I'm sure she prayed over us. And our hearts were changed. Our lives were changed. So Mother's Day, I want you to know that you are women of influence, no matter what the season you are. And if you don't have children or grandchildren, you might still be a neighbor or a friend or work in a church or have the opportunity to mentor. You have a voice. So if you have loved a child in any way, invested in a child, pray for a child, then you too carry a mother's heart. Your impact is not just right now. It is eternal, even though it might be invisible. You might not see it. That lady in my neighborhood, we moved. After 2 years, we were gone. She doesn't know what happened to Yvelle. She said that one made something of herself. That one, the word stuck. Yes, it did. You don't know. It might be invisible. You might not see it, but you're planting seeds. You're being a role model just in your own personality, your own style, your own love for those around you. So my challenge for you today is, who is God calling for you to nurture or invest in? I want you to just think about that, because it ain't over. As long as we are here, you have the opportunity. And it does not have to be in huge ways. We live in a society where children are longing to be seen. And it's not just about children, because there are young moms. And some of you have a lot of mothering experience that you can impart. You maybe can help out in some way. Maybe take a meal. Maybe offer 2 hours of babysitting. And in that 2 hours, you have the opportunity to give that mom not only a break, but show her that she's seen too, that she is known, that she's loved by God. And if it's not that, what about just encouraging those that are around us? Because not everybody that has all grown up had that stability, had that love, had people in their life that had a sacred calling and made a sacrifice. Some folk didn't. And they carry a little hurt. You have the opportunity to help heal that wound, to cast hope, to walk in your sacred call of your mother's heart that's like the Father's heart. Can we pray? Father, I thank you for every woman under the sound of my voice, and for the mothers that wanted to be here and are not, and for the traveling mothers, all of those people. God, you see that the season of mothering changes, but the call doesn't. I pray that you would strengthen every mother and mother figure here. Strengthen them physically, strengthen them emotionally. Let them know that they're still mightily used in the kingdom, that they can continue to walk in their call for children, grandchildren, neighbors, friends, those that they teach and those that they just meet on the street. Thank you that you give us the ability to point to you, to your love, to who you are, to teach, yes, about practical things, but more importantly, about the things of God. Lord, we love you, and I pray that every woman would have the blessings and the honor of this day, and know that she is seen and valued and loved, because your love is eternal for always. God, we give you the day. We love you and we thank you. And we all said, amen.